You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, my kindreds out there, boy, this week, last week has been on fire. There is so much going on. If you love your peace and sanity, please don't go on TikTok. TikTok has it's outrageous things going on out there in the public, like people literally jumping on people in public. I'm like, where are the police and all these things? The police, I guess we defunded them or whatever, so they don't show up in the same way as they used to do perhaps when I was a child. But before we get into the show today, I've got a great guest for you. So please keep your rage calm. If you need to get a boxing bag to punch out things, get that. That's a great way. When I worked one time real quickly as a neighborhood youth court counselor back in my younger days, that's what we would do. We'd let the kids with rage and anger problems, we'd buy them punching bags, pillows, anything that they could throw, punch, and that's how we would let them get their anger and their stress out. So you might want to try a few of those things. You can always have a good time with your partners, you know, and your loved ones as well. But anyway, today, let's get into it. Kevin Pico, well, banker, is our sponsor, 818-571-1508. He's a senior real estate and probate specialist there. My good dear friend, I love him with all my heart. Kevin Pike, senior real estate and probate specialist. He can handle it. Trust me. I've been in some pretty strange situations with housing and just people going and coming or coming and going. And he is a really good person to know. He knows all about real estate. So don't forget, Coldwell Banker, Kevin Pike, 818-571-1508. Let's get into our show today. We have a wonderful, amazing person. I like knowing real people. So that's who we get to come on our show. He is the founder and director of the Performance Arts Studio West, also known as PASW. It is a 26-year-old venue that has a history of training and representing performers with disabilities. Come on now. His book, Mother Goose, Reanimated Energetically, lulls us into the fabulous, fantastic world of storytelling and classic fables, along with introducing us to a little bit of the darker side of fantasy and imagination. The book features models and celebrities with and without disabilities. May I bring to our set, John Pacies. Hey, John.
Hi, Osiris. How you doing, dear?
I'm good. Thank you. I love you for doing what you do. This is why I say I love people. I love you for standing up and being the brave person you are for doing this. So tell us, my first question is, how did the theme, because to me, after I saw the trailer of Mother Goose Reanimated, mm-hmm. how did you, what made you choose Mother Goose? And more so, how has it, you've been able to reenact it and make it into something that everyone can enjoy even in 2025?
Okay, well, I guess the answer to that question would be, first of all, you know, my mother was a special education teacher for her entire life. And my working with this population really came from the experience that I had, you know, growing up and being around people with disabilities. I also have a late cousin with a developmental disability. So I was really used to the population. And I opened the studio here in 1998. And we started working with this population. So we just had our 27th anniversary, actually. And we have, my God, we've done every type of project. We've done, you know, live stage productions, you know, multimedia musical events with, you know, in 500-seat theaters with projections and lights and smoke and all that good stuff. Big, big events, small, intimate events. We've done web series. We've done spoken word projects. We've done spec commercials. We've done, you know, 25 years of original productions. And I wanted to take a look at, you know, sitting around with the staff and go, okay, guys, what haven't we done yet? You know, we've been coaches for film and television projects for 27 years now. We've had people, you know, work with Oscar winners and Emmy winners and Grammy winners. And we're on set working with those individuals with disabilities and a pretty good amount of success for this population in getting work over the past 27 years. And so we took a look and said, okay, what haven't we done yet? What haven't we worked with these guys? And he said, well, we haven't really done any print work yet. And what would be an interesting way to work with these guys and teach them skills they would need to do print work? And so, you know, I'm a very visual thinker. And so I'm, and yeah, you know how that is, you know,
yes.
You, the first thing you see in your mind is this visual image that then sparks, you know, you to move forward on a project. And I'm going, okay, well, what could be very visual? And I'm thinking, I used to love Mother Goose rhymes when I was a kid, and my mom being a teacher, she would read us those rhymes, and it would be something that would, you know, just fill me with wonder and sometimes a little bit of dread and fear, because some of the rhymes are a little bit creepy. And so that's how we came upon the idea. And first we thought, well, we'll just do like a calendar, 12 rhymes, 1 month, you know, per rhyme, and have 12 rhymes in a calendar. And so we started knocking this thing down, and we're just going, it kind of snowballed, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're just going, well, this just can't be a calendar. We got to turn it into a book that not only shows a depiction of what the original rhyme looks like, something like Humpty Dumpty that everyone might be familiar with, and then our reinterpretation of Humpty Dumpty and how we got production-wise from the original concept to what this new vision of the rhyme is. So there are, you know, this 187-page book, and, you know, more than half of it is behind-the-scenes photographs of how each one of these new rhymes was created. So you're seeing photo sessions, you're seeing people in recording studios, you're seeing, you know, what's going on in wardrobe and makeup and lighting and the whole thing. And everything was shot here at our studio. We got a beautiful, beautiful, you know, right outside my door over here, beautiful space that we shot all this stuff in. So that's how the idea came about.
Oh, my gosh, it's beautiful. That's a beautiful story. Mother Goose. I used to always have to say the word goose, you know, just the word goose incites some kind of interest in everything. So when you, why Mother, you could have chosen any other tale, though. Why Mother Goose? Is because it was a mother attack, the Mother Goose, or why Mother Goose over any of the other Aesop fable? Isn't it Aesop fable town, Mother Goose?
No, I mean, it is really, I mean, the Mother Goose rhymes. I mean, this image of Mother Goose as actually being a person is rather mythology. You know, it's more mythology than anything else, because some of these rhymes go back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So these things were passed down word to mouth. You know, many of them came from the British Isles. Some people think that some of these are of German descent or Dutch descent. And the fact that there were so many different rhymes that people were familiar with from growing up. I mean, you know, we have Humpty Dumpty, you have Little Bo Peep. Everybody knows Little Bo Peep. Everybody knows there was an old woman that lived in a shoe, or old King Cole was a merry old soul. So we all have these in our subconscious. If they're not in our conscious, they're in our subconscious somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you just thought, oh God, there's just this plethora. There's a huge catalog of things to be able to choose from. And that's why specifically we said, okay, these rhymes would be a good way to you know, show that what we are doing and show what our guys are capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you have quite a bit of famous celebrities, that people that have been on Mad TV, people that have been on a lot of the coast. Some of those people are people that we have heard of. Some of them aren't. How did you get the celebrities, those people, to support what you were doing? Because I remember when I was a child, and some people may, I'm being very honest here and transparent, and I would see people with disabilities. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what expression to have or what to think, because you don't want to. My mother's like, oh, you know, don't stare at people, yeah, you know, stare. That kind of thing. But you're a kid and you're like, you know. So how were you able to blend all of that together?
Well, we've met a lot of people along the way. You know, we've been doing this for 27 years now. As I said, you know, we've had our guys, you know, working in film and television for that long. So some of these people we were doing projects. Others came to, we have a guest speaker series called Meet the Biz. And a very, very dedicated person who's coordinating all that has brought in some wonderful people. And, you know, some people we would have at a Meet the Biz series, you know, doing a lecture and a Q&A here at the studio. Mm-hmm. And then we would think to ourselves, oh, God, that person would be mm-hmm. perfect for this role in this project. So we would then approach the person who may be a new friend or maybe somebody that we have known for a while. And we would show them what we, you know, what we currently had and what the idea for the bigger project is, and the idea specifically for the rhyme we were considering them for, and just say, hey, you want to come and play with us? And not one person said no. Everybody said, hell yeah, I'll do that. That looks like, you know, just pulling out all the stops and making something different that really has never been created before.
I've never seen anything like it. And matter of fact, like I was telling you before we came on, when I watched the trailer, it's like watching a symphonic art piece in movement. Yeah. That's the way it looked to me. And I'm an artist, so I can, that's the way it looked to me as an artist, like somebody creative looking. I'm like, wow, this could easily be a painting and mm-hmm. they could move it across. I mean, I saw these things and I wanted to know. I know that your company, you focus on diversity, inclusion, mm-hmm. and empowerment.
Yes.
How does that work into the book's narrative and the artwork? I saw bits and pieces of it, but how did that come about? Did you sit down with a team of people? Did you do the thought and then present it? How did that come about, right. that kind of idea?
Well, we have a fairly small creative team of the artists in the book. First of all, the woman that did the more traditional versions of the rhymes, her name is Rachel Capito. She is an artist on the autism spectrum. She's also an educator and a teacher and an animator. And she was the last person that we tapped for this because we had all the reimagined rhymes were done by our media director, mm-hmm. Shardell Brown. He's also published 25 you know, short books with illustrations and everything under the name Eben Rawl. So that's who is, he is listed in the book as Eben Rawl. So Shardell, Eben, myself, Steve Neal, who was one of the production managers on this and has been with our agency for 17 years. We'd sit down and just start kicking out ideas. We'd go, okay, diddle diddle dumpling, my son John went to bed with his trousers on, one shoe off and one shoe on, diddle diddle dumpling, my son John. And then we're going, okay, well, what could we do for that? And here's an example of one of our guests from the Meet the Biz program, actor Kurt Yeager, who has been, oh my God, he has been.
I know who Kurt Yeager is.
Kurt, yeah. Sons of Anarchy, Tell Me a Story, Quarry. Guy's a brilliant actor.
If you watch TV, you know these people.
He is a below-the-knee left leg amputee, lost his leg in a car accident years and years ago, almost died. And this guy has come back, and he's a monster actor. He's a monster athlete. And we just said, God dang, you know, Kurt would be amazing at this. You know, one shoe off and one shoe on, and then you see the final image of John in this book. He's a Los Angeles police detective in the 1970s who's gotten himself mixed up in a situation with organized crime who had executed his partner. See, the storylines are insane here. They're real and they're gritty.
And they're rich.
Yeah, and they are life. Very, very deep. And so our final image of John is him sitting in a rundown hotel in Hollywood in the 1970s. He's got a woman laying next to him in bed. He's sitting on the edge of the bed, drinking a scotch, and he's got his prosthetic leg is sitting next to him on the ground. So he's got one shoe off, one shoe on. And we wanted to have that edge with every one of these things. Nothing that, you know, we wanted to make people think and laugh and feel. And, you know, that's been our philosophy, you know, over the years with every single project we have done. We want it to affect people. And we never have wanted it to be a situation where people go, well, that was good for people with disabilities, you know, or, hey, nice little show you put on there. And we have, you know, over 27 years, we have not gone down that path because that is my nightmare. Everything has to be rich and adult and real and funny and gritty.
And real stuff. You know, the thing that gets me now that I'm a more mature and I've kind of grown up in the last 2 years, it took me a long time to grow up. But what's really interesting is to see how the world is viewed through this little small window of Hollywood. And again, if I hadn't had you on my show, I would have never heard. So the fact that, you know, that you're here present with us on the show is a really good thing. But there's a very small little narrow view that people have of the world. And it's so nice, like I was telling someone, and people can take this or leave it, but in the coming future, in the coming years, if your life does not include a diverse, well-rounded group of individuals, experiences, you're going to be bored as hell and nobody's going to want to hang with you because it's boring. Yeah. That, oh yeah, I only talk to Black folk. I only talk to white folk. Do you know how many different kind of people that are Black that live all over the world? Do you know how many different kind of people that have the color of light skin? They live all over the world. They're Jewish. They're from the British Islands. They're from Pacific Island. There's so many variations of life and how creatively all of these things are able to do something like what you're doing right now. And I think I feel bad that Hollywood doesn't talk about your program more, that they would rather spend time on useless things. And I'm saying this out loud because I've been I've been all over Hollywood and every corner of Hollywood, around the greats, around the not greats, in the big studios with everybody, the little kid that sat by the door that no one paid attention to, that never thought that they would make it out of a hole. Mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you that more focus needs to go on what you're doing. So in regard to what I just said, how many of our youth are involved in your program, in the, especially in the Inglewood area? That would be an area that most people in Hollywood, they go to Beverly Hills. They would never think to go over to Inglewood, that they might get something rich and informative and lasting from that. Mm-hmm. How many young people are a part of your agency or your company?
At this time, I think we're working with about 80 actors and singers and dancers that are part of the studio. Wow. And, you know, and what we do, you know, on a daily basis, you know, Performing Arts Studio West, we offer, you know, acting classes, music classes, dance classes. We have production classes. We have creative writing classes. We have classes for, you know, we do original productions. We have people with disabilities, not only in front of the camera, but behind the camera, you know, running lights, doing costumes, doing props, doing camera work, every aspect of the industry. And what we try to do is, we don't try to do, what we do is we create a professional atmosphere so that when they transition from projects that we're doing to being on set, you know, working on a television show or a film or a music video. And listen, over the past 27 years, our guys have been cast between film, television, theater, music videos, and every other type of, you know, production. Over 3,000 roles in 27 years. 3,000 roles. And, I mean, isn't that something to be celebrated?
I mean, and so you kind of act like a management.
You do. Well, I'm a talent agent. I am a talent agent.
You are. You're doing all these things that people, like, do in the real, you know, in the real world of, oh yeah, you're studying to be a star and you're going to work with this one and work with that one. Let me ask you this. How many times has there ever been any times that the someone's disability got in the way of them working on a set with other people that may not have been disabled? Like, were they treated poorly, unkindly, like you're not moving fast enough, or, you know, this, that, and the other? How many times have those things kind of been experienced? I'd like to know.
In our experience, zero.
Are you kidding me?
I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. By the time our performers get onto a set, they know exactly what the hell they're doing. And we have a coach there with them. One of our staff will be with them while, you know, all throughout a production. Our job is to be able to facilitate the director and the producers getting the performance that they want out of these individuals. And mm-hmm. We have never had a complaint. We have never had anything but, oh my God, this added such authenticity to this piece. Had we cast an actor without a disability playing someone with a disability, you know, it would not have had this realism. It wouldn't have had this heart. And that is, that has been our experience. And, you know, listen, we had one guy that was on he was a series regular on a television show for 5 years, And another young woman was on that same show as a recurring character for 4 years. And, you know, gosh, we've had people that worked in, we had a guy that worked in a film with Bryan Cranston. He co-starred in a film with Bryan Cranston.
I love Bryan Cranston.
And if that ain't an education, when you're on set and watching this younger actor with a disability working with someone with that much gravitas as Bryan has. And Bryan's been a guest speaker here at the program a couple of times. And, you know, he's just salt of the earth, this guy, you know. And to have those type of industry people recognizing what we're doing here and knowing that we are creating something for the industry that they're foolish if they don't tap into. You know, we have one of our staff persons, Diana Jordan, who has cerebral palsy. So she is exactly what these guys are trying to become, a working actor. In fact, she's on set the past couple of days filming a television show. And so our staff are the role models when it comes to what our guys want to eventually become.
I just love things that people are doing. It gives me hope to stay alive, you know, like, okay, is anything going on that's not boring and not repetitive? And I don't know why they don't even have a category in film and television at the Academy Awards for this kind of thing. So I don't know, but I know people out there listening to me, you guys, please include this in the Academy Awards. This is going to be a big deal. You heard it here. You can think that everything is still going to revolve around Hollywood. It's not. It's all going to shift around. The more that we interact with other people in other countries and what they're doing, everything is going to shift here. But go ahead. What were you going to say,
John? I was just going to say that there's an award show and some, you know, an organization that's been around for probably 30 years now called the Media Access Awards.
What?
And they are, jot this down, Osiris, Media Access Awards. They finally just got I think the past 2 years, have had their awards ceremony televised on PBS, but they do exactly what you were talking about. They are honoring, it's straight up performers with disabilities, projects that involve people with disabilities, writing, acting, choreography, everything. And they're honoring people that are doing things in the industry and recognizing them all in this inclusive night of magic.
It's, and you know what? No one ever, I'm interviewing her. I tried to get her. I fought tooth and nail to get her on the show, Jerry Jules.
Oh, sure.
Jerry Jules was one of the first actors that was actually disabled that played in a disabled act. You know, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
No one ever talks about that. I think that's so sad that we still perceive things like, okay, we're not disabled. Maybe somebody doesn't have both their legs and their arms, and mentally they're disabled. Their hearts are disabled.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Your heart is disabled. That you can't feel anything and you don't understand and you're looking past people that are actually making a difference.
Right. You know,
it's so important that people know about you, John.
Thank you. And it's, listen, 20% of the population has some type of disability, either physical, developmental, or mental health issues It's part of life. It's part of who we are. And, you know, we're still working very hard. And I know that there's other, you know, wonderful organizations, you know, in all over the world that are just looking if the media can have that same representation that the population of individuals with disabilities, you know, have, you know, that section, that 20%, that's all we want. You know, create stories, write stories. Include actors, and it doesn't have to, the plot doesn't have to center around a person's disability. It's like, hey, you know, the guy working at the bank, you know, the guy working at the bank could be a guy that has cerebral palsy, or, you know, this, you know, the attorney could be, you know, an amputee. You know, those are the kind of things that, you know, we push for and other people are really pushing for. And, you know, Hollywood is a little bit like this, you know, because they like the formula.
We're getting better.
You know, but they are getting better. the changes.
It's getting a little better, but it's still real kind of, and I say this with authenticity because I've been on every side and I grew up in Hollywood. I got here at 27. I'm way past that now. And I grew up and I got to see all the different levels of, you know, oh, this one's a celebrity and this. Then you have situations that come up like Sean Diddy Combs or celebrities that are on the heads or on the block because they've done some uncelebrity like, you know. That's the kind of bull dookie that I'm talking about should change. Yeah. You know, what makes them any different than anybody else? Not only have you given them prestige and honor, you know, and they've let you down by being a human being and having some faults that were hidden, then you're going to put down other people that are actually real people doing things out here that are positive, doing things to try to, but you want the news, or you won't tell their story, but you want to get more hits because you're telling something dark and nasty.
Yeah,
and
all the salacious nonsense.
It's going to change. It's all dark and negative. And then you wonder why people want to shoot themselves in the head and do drugs and all of that. Because all we're feeding them is dark, dark, dark. Yeah. You know, when I see kids outside walking around with their heads down, you're too young to be depressed. You know, what are you depressed about?
Yeah.
You know, now I know their problem. And it's because we live in a society that doesn't make any space for them. There's nothing for them to do in the summer. What do you have? What did you design for them to do this summer?
Look at their phones. Look at their phones and their iPads and stay in their rooms and look at their computers.
Exactly. That's the kind of stuff that's going to stop, because time and change is going to force it to stop. And thank goodness for technology that brings other cultures over here so we can see how stupid we look sitting around doing drugs every day. And kids over in Japan, I've been over there 9 times. I've been to Japan. Kids in Japan are sitting around doing something productive, making something that can actually do something in the real world.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all of us, but I'm saying a great percentage of Americans are spoiled and we've wasted our time on things that are not that important at the end of the day. Yeah. They are not. Who cares?
And
John Diddy Combs got off or whatever. Who? I'm more concerned about what you're saying about some little kid that got shot on accident because they were in a gang area and now they're disabled because somebody wasn't watching what they were doing or it's allowed to do those things.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, John.
Oh, I was, gosh, what was it?
We're going to talk
you
about.
You were on such a roll. You were on such a roll. I'm just going, well, that triggered something. And then it just went out the window.
No, I wanted you to talk more about, you were talking about some of the people behind the scenes and what they've done. And then you started talking about the guy that had Bryan Cranston and how important that is for people to work with people like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just been an experience that, you know, that we've been just banging away at the industry and getting back to the book too. I mean, we've got some, we really have some wonderful people. You were talking about Deborah Wilson from Mad TV.
That's
and
right.
She's the queen of voiceover artists right now. And she is now the official voice of Ursula the Sea Witch for all the new Disney projects.
Really?
So, yes. That was just announced, oh gosh, maybe 4 or 5 months ago or something. But now everything you hear with Ursula and Little Mermaid, that's Deborah. You know, we have the wonderful, wonderful Matt Frazier, who was on American Horror Story. He was
I know who you're talking about.
Oh my God. And he just did Chaos with Jeff Goldblum. You know, good friend of the studio. He's with us, Mindy Sterling from the Austin Powers franchise and the Goldbergs. And we did a television series for 2 years with her. Legit with stand-up comedian Jim Jefferies from Australia. And Mindy's been a friend of the program for a while. She plays in the book. She's the old woman who lives in the shoe. And, you know,
where can we get the book, John? Isn't it on Amazon now?
Yes. Amazon.com. Just go under Amazon, type in Mother Goose Reanimated. It is, again, it's beautiful. Full color, 187 pages, tons of behind the scenes. It's available in hardcover.
There you go. Yeah.
It's
going
to be a mirror image to your.
That's pretty.
And it's beautiful. I mean, it's really, really just beautiful, solid book. Hardcover, paperback, and Kindle versions. And, you know, Kindle is amazing in this kind of a thing because it's awesome because you can zoom in on the artwork and stuff. I mean, because there are sections of these things that are so detailed and so beautiful. Can I give you a little rundown of how we twisted each
other? I'm listening to you because I want to hear what your rundown is.
All right, Little Bo Peep. We all know Little Bo Peep has lost her sheep. Doesn't know where to find them. Leave them alone and they'll come home wagging their tails behind them. Our Bo Peep is now a World War II B-17 bomber nose art pinup girl. So she is the image that is painted on the outside of this flying fortress in World War II. And the storyline goes with this is that the soldiers that are in this bomber on a mission flying over Germany during World War II, and they get shot down. And the last image that they see is this vision of their pinup girl, Bo Peep. And as they are descending to the ground in their parachutes, in the illustration, they appear as sheep, her flock. And that also speaks to the herd mentality of the military, men being dragged into war at a young age, you know, especially during World War II. You had 17-year-old
kids. I know. My dad, I'm a military person. I get it. I understand.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, that is our Bo Peep, our Humpty Dumpty. We all know Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Now Humpty is a patient confined to a 19th century insane asylum.
What?
Yes.
This is good.
He's in a straitjacket, and he's sitting alone in his padded cell, but surrounding him, behind him, are all the king's horses and all the king's men. So he imagines in his mind to protect him not only from himself, but from the abuse that he's getting by living in it, by being confined to this asylum. They are his protectors. They're his champions. So all these men are this very, very disturbed and misunderstood man. They are his protectors, and they keep him safe from himself and everybody else. Little Miss Muffet,
sat on a tuffet, eating her curds away.
Right. Along came a spider and
sat down beside her.
And frightened Miss Muffet away. All right. So our Miss Muffet is played by Naomi Grossman, who did three seasons on American Horror Story as Pepper. Great character actress, so talented. She is now our Little Miss Muffet, who is a 1960s psychedelic pop artist who paints better when she is using hallucinogenics. Mm-hmm. And the illustration in the book is her in front of her canvas, and you see all her art around her on the floor. You also see psychedelic mushrooms. You see a hookah pipe, and you see this image of this giant spider is in her hallucinatory experience that is coming out of the smoke and is drawing her in, is luring her in.
I got to get a copy.
Oh, it is. It's so beautiful.
It sounds beautiful.
Yeah. We got Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow with silver bells and cockles? Pretty maids all in a row. Our Mary is now a fearsome captain in the 1600s of a pirate ship. And what they have done, the maids in this rhyme are mermaids that they have captured. And they are taking these maids to port to sell. And so everything has a dark, dark, dark twist. The old woman who lives in a shoe, as I said, who was played by Mindy Sterling, is now the overseer and owner of a future dystopian society shoe factory where she has all these indentured servants that are just cranking out thousands and thousands and thousands of shoes. And she appears in the rhyme. She's dressed in leather and she has this cat of nine tails and she has one of her workers by the hair and she's wielding her whip getting ready to beat another guy who's cowering. And we have probably 24 of our guys in this as the people who are inside the shoe.
The
shoe-shaped shoe factory. And you even see the tongue of the shoe coming down up above and the laces up above. And I got to tell you, Osiris, we shot this out in one day with Mindy and 25 extras with disabilities, many in wheelchairs, And we had them all in costume and all in makeup and shot these guys out in one day and made this, you know, beautiful creation. So those are a few examples of, you know, of where these rhymes go. Old King Cole was a merry old soul and a merry old soul.
No, so was he.
He called for his pipe, called for his bowl, and called for his
vitamin D.
So Cole now, Cole Davis is a heroin addicted jazz musician in the underground jazz club scene.
He's an area
in the 1960s. You know, and he's fighting for his life. You know, he's fighting for his life. He's super talented, but he's addicted to heroin. And he's got this band of, you know, his backup band, his trio are these tough sons of bitches. And, you know, and they're protecting him. It's just it's nuts where these things go. They're cinematic. Every one of these is cinematic and lends itself to the jumping off point for an amazing story.
John, this should be on PBS. Yeah, I mean, where's your book signing and everything?
Well, we're taking, you know, we were just at Comic-Con last time around. We're taking a look at all the book fairs coming up. We're also pitching this as an anthology television series. So that's
it
next.
It should be.
We're working on our package right now. We have some industry people that are very, very interested.
Very interested. I'm telling you, your idea is about to blow. I can feel it. It's blowing. I can feel it. And after 26 years or 27 now, don't you think it should be blowing right about?
Well, yeah, you know, and that's what a lot of our staff keep saying. You know, it's like, we're nose to the grindstone every dang day here. You know, what we are doing is we're just creating art, changing lives, you know, getting our foot in the door of the industry on a regular basis. And it is all, you know, it has built. It's, you know, it's like life. You know, things come when they are ready. Things come to those who are prepared. And, you know, our preparation is immaculate. We're working so diligently. And we have a new vertical content web series that we just posted on TikTok.
What is it called?
It's called Studio 98. And you can find that on TikTok at studio98.pasw. We just dropped our second episode. Yeah. And it's like a mockumentary of what we're doing here at the studio. So we're essentially playing ourselves, and all our participants, our actors and our singers and our dancers, are playing versions of themselves. But we're doing it in these minute to minute and a half shorts that are comedic and fun and really, you know, really put together for vertical viewing on your phone. You can blow through this thing, you know, in a minute and a half and get some laughs. So,
well, let's take a break and announce our sponsor. And then I want to talk to you more about the project before we have to go. But let's take a break. Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist. 818-571-1508. My pleasure and honor to know this young man. Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist again, Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker, can take care of any of your real estate needs. Now back to the show, John. So what is the spiritual aspect of Mother Goose Reanimated? And boy, I'm telling you, I looked at the trailer. It looked like a painting, a moving painting piece to me, but I'm creative. So my mind is going to be out there in the creative crazy thing. But for someone that is really into nursery rhymes, is this something that they could introduce to their 6-year-old child? Or is it something that's a little bit more teenage-ish kind of?
Yeah, I would say probably 13 and up. You know, okay. I mean, kids are sophisticated these days with video games and graphic novels and everything. And but this is something that's very it is adult oriented and for teens too. And I think what it speaks to, it speaks to how something that we are familiar with, something that we think that we have known, can be taken in a different direction and create a completely different emotion than we thought that we would experience at first glance. And even when the reader, and we hope that, you know, again, Amazon.com, check us out, Mother Goose Reanimated.
That's right.
It takes people to a place that they've never been before. Each one of these rhymes is something special and different. You know, The Cat and the Fiddle. Hey, Diddle Diddle, The Cat and the Fiddle.
Yeah, the fiddle.
Over the Moon, Little Dog Laughed to See Such Sport, and The Dish Ran Away with the Spoon. Now, when we were coming up with an idea for this, and we were having a tough time. You know, this is one we were kind of stuck on. We knew it was going to be visual in some aspect. And we're thinking, hey, Cat and the Fiddle. And I'm thinking a cat, you know, like a cool cat, and fiddle, little musicians and stuff. And I said, what if we did like a 1960s Rat Pack era, like a pool party thing in the Hollywood Hills? And we're going, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. That's a great idea.
I love the way you think.
And then we started working through this thing, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working. And we had one of our participants at the time. Her name is Raven, a goth chick on the autism spectrum. She was so cool. She probably weighed about 90 pounds, and she had this pixie black hair, beautiful, beautiful face, and she was a visual artist as well. And she was sitting there in the production meeting, and she goes, Cat in the Fiddle. She goes, The Dish Ran Away with the Spoon. She goes, The Dish. She goes, well, what if you made the dish like a saucer, like
with
a
legs.
Flying saucer, like a flying saucer? And we're just going, oh, that's a great idea. So in The Cat and the Fiddle, it's turning into a tale of alien abduction. And so you see this junk man out there at the very crack of dawn, and he's driving through a cornfield, and he's got all this junk that he's collected in the back of his truck, and you see three flying saucers, three UFOs hovering above, and they're beaming up all this stuff out of the back of his truck. You see the cat, the cat is one of those Felix the Cat.
Hold on, looking at you.
The Felix the Cat clocks that used to be in the
kitchen. Yeah, I love Felix the Cat.
The fiddle is a violin that's going up. You see silverware going up. You see dishes going up. So all the elements in the rhyme are things that have been pulling up out of his truck. Even his little dog, the little dog laughed. You see the little dog like starting to float up and getting drawn into the beam of the UFO. So it's taking these things in insane directions. Just insane directions and visually gorgeous. And, you know, not only you have the final product itself, but then you have smaller frames that isolate, well, here's the guy's face. If this is what the, you know, this is what the silo that's being ripped out of the ground and being sucked up into the spaceship looks like. And you have lots of text boxes that have how the images were created.
That's great.
So it's got that geek factor for people who like that production behind the scenes kind of a vibe.
John, what was the... Did you guys do Miss Mary Mack dressed in black with 24 buttons up and down her back?
No, we didn't.
Ooh. She jumped so high, she touched the sky. And she didn't come back to the 4th of July.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Today is the 4th.
Happy 4th. Yeah,
Miss Mary Mack, all dressed in black. That was one of them that I remember when I was a kid. I remember things like that, even though I'm mature. I still remember all the nursery rhymes. I remember stuff I did in school. I'm like one of those. I love having those stories in my mind. But what I was going to ask you is, I asked you about the spiritual aspect of the book. What can it teach us about how to interact with each other and how to interact with, let's just say, well, let me phrase it in a way so you'll get it real quick. Let's just say that I'm a human being and I encounter an animal, but the animal is able to communicate with me, but they have a disability. How can I learn from your book how to interact with anything in my environment without making myself be bigger than what the environment is and being a part of the environment versus being over the environment or controlling the environment? Yeah. How do you?
I think what, you know, what our philosophy has always been is that we're on a level playing field with everybody. You know, this guy, just because he's in a wheelchair, doesn't mean he's any less able than someone who's not. This person who has Down syndrome has just as many creative ideas as, you know, someone without that disability. And to collectively work as a group of artists with and without disabilities, with everybody being on the same playing, you know, on the same field at the same level, everybody having the same goal, everybody being an equal team member somehow in the creation of this thing, it just, people are people, you know. I don't give a dang if you got no arms. I don't give a dang if you can't see. You know, we have visually impaired guys here too. I mean, we got everything, and everyone has worth. And sometimes we have had to help people teach them their self-worth, because maybe that wasn't something that they got. Almost all of our guys have been, you know, were bullied when they were in school.
Absolutely.
You know, and you know, we raise people up, but we don't baby them. We treat them as adults because they are adults, and we let them know that you have as much validity in your thoughts and your feelings and your creativity as anybody else. And I think that's the life lesson that, you know, that we try to
get
in all of it.
From your program. Yeah. Have you thought about, and each time before we got to go in a minute. But have you thought about branching into other states and taking the program nationwide or global?
You know, people have asked us that for years. And first of all, it is tough, you know, because we're funded by the state of California. We're funded by the state funded program. Just the process of opening a new business and attracting a clientele, you know, can be tough. You know, we're very satisfied at this point with, I mean, we have a wonderful campus. You know, we have a dedicated music studio, acting studio, dance studio, production studio, recording studio, talent management offices. We have a media department where people can do work on green screen and goggles,
what?
And, you know, virtual environments. You know, we have everything that you need here to learn about production. So we're almost, you know, it's like a small college campus.
That's
and
right.
Everything that you know people want to learn about in the field of entertainment, whether it be behind the scenes or in front of the camera, is available here. And that's what we, you know, and we've been very, very, you know, fortunate over the years to, you know, keep this boat afloat and keep running and just keeps getting better and better.
I'm honored to know you. I swear. I didn't even know they had anything like that. I wish I had known about you when I was going through my crazy, didn't know who I was.
I want to just once again, extend this, you know, let's stay in touch. And I extend an open invitation. We love having guests.
I'm a veteran, and I was diagnosed with a lot of those things. And I'm one of those people that uses a different way to approach mental things and spiritual things. And so I've been able to really get around a lot of things and minimize and balance them because of how my mindset and what I believe in. But I wanted to say, first of all, give us your media, social media tags so we can get in touch with you. Stay in touch, everybody out there. Go.
Okay. Website, pastudiowest.com. Pastudiowest.com. Facebook, just find us on Performing Arts Studio West. Again, we just opened the TikTok channel, Studio98.PASW, and the name of the vertical series we're doing is Studio 98. And then MGR, okay, for Mother Goose Reanimated.
Mother Goose Reanimated. Don't forget Amazon. Don't forget to look on Google Goodreads. It's a beautiful, like I said, I looked at the trailer and it looked like a painting piece to me. I couldn't wait to talk to you to find out more about it. And I love how they've taken the theme of some of our really wonderful childhood nursery rhymes and fable tales and made them, brought them up to current times that anybody can relate to them.
Right.
Anybody can relate to that.
It's all, you know, it's just the human emotion that goes.
The human experience.
Yeah, human experience, absolutely.
And don't forget about me, Osiris Munir. Don't forget Osiris _ Munir _ the painter on IG. If you Google my name, Osiris, OSIRISMUNIR, you'll see everything about me online. I have a very interesting story. Interesting background, just so I can be here to talk to all of you every week. John,
Osiris.
When are we going to have you back? Where can we go and see the next production?
Oh my gosh, just stay in touch. We'll keep, you know, we post on social media whenever we've got something going on. You know, mostly we're doing things that are online now. We're thinking probably in the fall we may do another live production.
Okay.
Probably include a lot of original music and choreography, and you know, we're looking for a great venue to put that up into, but we'll keep you posted.
We'll stay posted, and don't forget, shout out to LA Talk Radio owner Sam Hassan. Hey Sam. He keeps me happy. He answers all my stupid questions, and he loves to talk to me because I stimulate his mind. And then we get to like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, our IG, and everything else about us. I love you. That means I like you for who you are, John. That includes you. I like you for who you are and your person who I love, Harlan. I like you and I love you for all the brave things that you do every day when you pick yourself up after you fall and you dust yourself off and you still believe in yourself and your program and your fantasies and your dreams. I love you for that. Mm. Okay. And don't forget to smile. It works wonders. We'll see you again next week. Bye. Have a good week. Don't let people get on your nerves. Instead, let them get in your creative paperwork. Do something about that. Make it creative. Talk to you later. Bye-bye, John. I'll talk to you later.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, cool. Thanks.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.